The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Before the feast of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from this world to the Father. He loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. The devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, to hand him over. So during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper and took off his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Master, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will understand later." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, then not only my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus said to him, "Whoever has bathed has no need except to have his feet washed, for he is clean all over. So you are clean, but not all." For he knew who would betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and put his garments back on, and reclined at table again, he said to them, "Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightfully so, for indeed I am. If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do."
The Gospel of the Lord.
So, one of the most striking and beautiful things about this night is the theme that runs through every action and every word that Jesus says. And that theme, as far as I'm concerned, is of friendship and intimacy. Jesus wants intimacy with us. He wants that through a very deep friendship. Jesus does not want us to be distant from him. He wants to go as deep as we will allow him. And often we keep him at a distance. But tonight is about intimacy with God. So we hear at the very beginning of John's commentary, John was at the Last Supper. And by the way, when we're thinking about this night and all the mysteries associated with it, and I'm going to talk a little bit about these mysteries, we really want to kind of imagine ourselves in this upper room. I've been to the upper room, or what we think is the upper room, which is in Jerusalem, in the old city. It's a very small little space. It's not as big as even this church. It's very intimate. And we might want to kind of consider ourselves as being there with Jesus, because Jesus didn't just intend these actions and words to be for the 12. He meant them to be for us. And he did certain things, these institutions that we talk about today, that would promulgate this for all of us, up until now, us. His presence and his friendship and this intimacy that I'm speaking of. The first thing that John says, he was there, as I said, he makes this comment that is so striking. He says, he loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. He loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. We hear in Luke's account, and when the hour came, he sat at the table, and the apostles with him. And listen to these words that come from Jesus' lips. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover meal with you before I suffer. I have deeply desired to share this meal with you before I suffer. It's the deepest desire in the heart of Jesus before he leaves for the greatest sorrow and this thing that he's been working towards his whole life is to have this friendship, this meal, and this intimacy with those who were closest with him. Jesus's intimacy is first made manifest in the very uncomfortable scene that we just read in the gospel, that I just read, where what we'll do in a few minutes is I'll wash 12 feet from those in our people in our parish. It's still an uncomfortable sign. It makes us kind of uncomfortable, kind of icky. Of course, it was all the more so back then, as they didn't have the type of footwear that we have now. And so they, generally speaking, they wore sandals. And ancient people wore sandals, and they walked on roads that were not paved and that were not concrete. And so it was messy. And this is why, generally, you would have your feet washed before you entered a household. Because you wouldn't want to bring all that filth into the house. Just like today. We take off our shoes when we walk in a house. And so Jesus, of course, gets to this scene. And this is at the very beginning of the Last Supper. A lot of things happen at the Last Supper. In fact, if you read the Gospel of John, it's almost like a third of the entire Gospel of John, the 21 chapters, are taken up, are almost a third, are the Last Supper and Jesus' discussions with the apostles. So a lot of things happen. And Jesus wants to loosen the disciples up, the apostles up. So there's a lot that's about to take place. He's about to share his body and blood in a few moments with them. This will be the most intimate way that he's ever communicated with them and been in relationship and friendship with them. And so just like we do in youth group, and in various places where we want to loosen ourselves up, Jesus kind of has an icebreaker. And the icebreaker is the washing of the feet. Because if you can watch your master, your coach, you think about like a football coach to a high school kid or something like that, just how uncomfortable that would be for that high school kid to let his coach wash his feet, or something along those lines. And we just think of all the scenarios in our head. It's just, I don't want to let you do that. I'm the one who should be doing it for you. But Jesus disarms Peter. He disarms Peter. Peter doesn't want any part of it. Because Jesus wants to go to the very depths and the very dirtiest, junkiest places in Peter's soul. And so what he's doing with the body is symbolic of what Jesus wants to do in the soul. And this is all of us, of course. We have these secrets and these sins and these memories that we just don't hand over to Jesus. I'll give you this part of my life, and you can just have that. Well, what that does is it constrains the friendship, and Jesus just becomes another part of our lives. He's not allowed to go to the depths. Oftentimes, we're holding back, and we're not all in. We like him at an arm. Well, what if I let him go a little bit deeper? That's too scary. I've never given that away. Or maybe he'll start asking me things that will be too demanding. We have all these fears. These fears are not from God. They're from the enemy. And so Jesus, in an attempt to deepen the friendship, in an attempt to deepen the intimacy, gets down and washes the feet of the 12. The next major sign, way that Jesus gives his intimacy and friendship to the 12, is by giving them a participation or a share in his own priesthood. This is like giving them a little bit of his own power. That would perpetuate, as Jesus knew, from generation to generation to generation, to this day, to this person speaking to you right now. And throughout the years, we've had, of course, in the church's history, many wicked and evil, bad priests, just like there was here. Judas was ordained as well. He was one of the first 12 bishops. And we've gotten some of the greatest men and human beings who have ever lived. Some of the greatest of the saints. And I have a deep, profound love for the priesthood, not because I am a priest, but because I have encountered so much grace and Jesus himself through other priests. I stand in awe and reverence of my own priesthood, almost as uncomfortable as Peter is at times. But it's true. Many of us have had these experiences with priests that have changed our lives, where a priest says something or does something that changes the entire trajectory of our entire lives. Jesus himself this is one of the main ways he decided to stay with us until the age. We're visual, material, physical, sensible people. Human beings are not just in the mind. We need icons. We need a manifestation of the reality. That's the priesthood is one of those central manifestations of the mystery of Jesus. And what does a priest do? A priest reconciles that which is earthly to God. He makes things holy. He offers sacrifices that make things right with God. That's why it's so powerful when a priest prays over us. Jesus gave us the Mass as an extension of his friendship throughout the ages, this way to access him, to receive from him, to stand with him at the cross, just as Mary and Mary Magdalene and John the Apostle, who wrote this gospel, all stood with him. This is what we do at the Mass, and we receive from the blood that came from the heart of Jesus on the cross. When they pierced his side, that was through the heart. And we read that blood and water flowed out. Those are symbols of the sacraments, of the Eucharist, of baptism, and of the grace. We could just think of, as we look up at this crucifix, every time we're at Mass, the grace coming from the heart of Jesus to all of us. It's the most powerful prayer we have. There's nothing greater that we can do than be at Mass. There's no place you could ever be that would be a better place than being at Mass. It's an extension of the friendship and intimacy with God. And of course, the central aspect, central grace of the Mass is that God gives us, just as he did this night on the Last Supper, his own body, blood, soul, and divinity, his own true and real presence, not just a symbol, but he himself. In the first reading that we read, in the book of Exodus, they ate from the lamb that they had slaughtered, and they, remember, they wiped his blood on the doorposts so that the angel of death would pass over them. And then they sat at table, these families, and they ate the flesh of the lamb, the unblemished lamb. We know of Jesus that not a bone was broken. We too receive and we eat the flesh of the Lamb, and the angel of death passes over us. We who are in a state of grace and receive the body and blood of Jesus, we're not tormented, we're not afflicted. We might have sorrows, but God is with us. And we go to heaven. We can be certain of our eternal salvation, that the angel of eternal death passes over us. At the end of this Last Supper, there's this little, very brief line. It's only in one of the four Gospels. It's in Matthew. I just want to end with this. Is the very end, he spent this time of intimacy and friendship with his apostles, all of us, we should think of. And it says that he went out. And we know what was about to take place. They were about to go out, and he was about to be betrayed by everyone. He was about to go to the most difficult thing of his entire life. And it says they went out when they had finished. He went out, and they went out, and they sung a hymn, and they went to the Mount of Olives. They sung a hymn. It's the only time we actually have a record of Jesus himself singing. He sung a hymn on the way to his most gruesome, difficult point of his life. Why did he sing a hymn? This is most likely a psalm that was a part of the Passover ritual. But it's a symbol of Jesus' joy in going to do the thing that he came in the world in the first place to do. He desired friendship and intimacy with us. He desired to break open the gates of heaven, to banish Satan for all of us. And he was very joyful going in to do that for all of us. Like a great lover who is more than happy to take a bullet for their children, or a husband who would be more than willing to take a bullet for his wife, Jesus, the groom of the church, goes in happily to die for his bride, which is us, the church. Lord, we thank you for the gift of these great mysteries that we celebrate tonight, for the gift of the friendship of Jesus, and that he offers his own heart to us. Thank you, Lord. Fill our hearts with gratitude, and give us the joy that the 12 had, the 11 had with Jesus as they walked to Gethsemane, and they sung this hymn. Through Christ our Lord, amen. And let us take a few moments in silent prayer.